Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Bear season is over, but the news never stops in the NFL. Cody Parkey double doinks the game-winning field goal, and it sounds like his decision to go on the Today Show was another doink. Can we trust management to find the right kicker this time? And the Bears could use a highly productive running back like Kareem Hunt, so should they try to sign the embattled superstar? We have some breaking news. There's still no breaking news about Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. Baseball's winter of nothing for the second straight year continues. Will Machado make up his mind this week? What about this month? What about before opening day? What about before the All-Star game? Man, Robin Lopez wanted to treat Chris Dunn like he was an NBA mascot. Veteran center has to leave a heated practice. Now he may be out of the team's rotation. How will Jim Boylan and his thicker wallet handle this? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. Hope you're having a really good day. All right, let's meet the panel for today's show. From the Associated Press, he's our friend Jay Cohen. From 670 The Score, the Mullion Haw Show in the mornings, and the Chicago Tribune, he is the one and only Ball State superstar, David Haw. And right here, it's the legendary Layla Rahimi from NBC Sports Chicago. All right, the Bears did not rule out bringing in Kareem Hunt. That's right. He is on the commissioner's exempt list, but Matt Nagy coached him a year ago, said he felt he was a good kid, and spoke with him a week ago. Here is Matt Nagy yesterday in the season-ending wrap-up news conference about Kareem Hunt.
Does he deserve a second chance?
Well, I'm a guy that who I don't care who you are. Here's what I'll say to this. Everybody's position, everybody has, when you talk about second chances, well, what's the second chance? What's your situation? And so with him, that's not for me to decide. I will say this, that me personally, depending on certain people's situations, I'm a guy that has always been that. Now, I've been kind of raised that way to give guys second chances, not third chances, but I've kind of learned that through Coach Reed. He's done that several times with some people. And but I also say that every situation is different. So, that's his situation, and I wanted to talk to him as a true on personal side.
All right. So the question to you is, David Haw, and I know you opined in the Tribune and on the radio. Does he deserve a second chance, and should that second chance be here with a coach who he trusts?
Well, I think everybody deserves a second chance, but I think that the timing of it makes you ask the question, should it come with the Chicago Bears, should it come now, sooner rather than later? And I don't think that it should. I don't think in the context of the Bears as an organization, I don't think it makes sense for them to go down this road. We're talking about it today only because they opened the door to it, and they answered six questions about it without shooting down the possibility. You heard Matt Nagy talk about and volunteered the information that he called Kareem Hunt because he coached him in Kansas City. I think you can find a running back in the draft that can do some of the same things that Kareem Hunt can do.
He is
the NFL's leading rusher last year, but this is not a bottom line equation. This is an equation. What kind of organization do you want to be? That video is disturbing, Cap, and I think right now it's too soon. We don't know what his punishment is. We don't know if he's rehabilitated. We don't know enough. There's too many unknowns for me to say, oh, yeah, sure, the Bears should go put winning ahead of everything else and sign this kid.
By the way, there's your Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Would you still root for the Chicago Bears if they sign Kareem Hunt? Yes, but it will be tough. No shot. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Siri's weighing in as well.
It's such a tough situation because you have to ask yourself, why did they even talk about it so much? And we have praised this organization's transparency ever since Matt Nagy came onto this team. However, even if they were simply thinking aloud with us, the media, about this, they didn't say no. So because they didn't say no, essentially it's almost like partially saying yes. And you have to ask yourself then, is he only getting this chance or even the thought of a second chance because he is Kareem Hunt?
Well, there's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, and the Kansas City Chiefs have already said, they could win the Super Bowl with Kareem Hunt this year. Not a doubt about it. They could have won the Super Bowl. And they decided that that problem was not worth it.
They can win it without him, too.
Perhaps.
They can win it without him, too.
But if they were willing to go that route.
Except he lied to them.
And that is a big deal.
So is that his first chance, second chance, or third chance? The transgression, the lie. Where are you with numbering? How many chances do you get?
I think they're clearly thinking about it. And I think this was their way of maybe testing the waters a little bit here to see what the reaction is from, around town. I think in the end, they may kick the tires on this and look at it, but I think in the end, like you said, I think they'll probably go the draft route. If only for you could get a good running back, maybe not a guy of that quality, but this is also a roster management thing. And, they have some money due on some players that are going to cost them a significant amount of money. And, getting a cheap running back in the system might make some sense for them as opposed to, spending money on Kareem Hunt.
See, I'm wildly conflicted about this.
I'm surprised you're wildly conflicted. You're not Mr. Gray Area.
I'm not. I'm usually.
You usually check a box, yes or no, black or white. And
right.
You're somehow strangely in the middle here, which is very uncomfortable for me to hear you say you're conflicted about this.
Here's where I'm at on it, just so I'm clear. I do not believe anyone should sign him right now.
Okay.
I would like to know how long his punishment's going to be. I'd like to know what the NFL's investigation turns up. I understand there were extenuating circumstances that he was called a racial slur and that caused him to lash out. He shouldn't have lashed out. He shouldn't have done what he did. But if you told me that he's going to miss the 2019 season, he's suspended for the year, and a year from right now, his private doctors come out and say, we think he's a changed man. Do I believe he should get a second chance somewhere? Maybe.
So let's do that show in 2020. Let's do that show a year from now. Let's have that question.
Correct. I do not support anyone signing
that
him now.
It came up yesterday, and that they opened the door to six specific questions about Kareem Hunt.
They could have shut it down with one.
After a 12-4 season, to me, it's borderline inappropriate.
But you can't tell me that they didn't expect that question.
Oh, yeah, they did. And I think
100%.
This is the season-ending press conference, and they devoted a significant amount of time out of an hour to a player who's not even on the team.
In fairness, this is what you get if you make your general manager as inaccessible as Ryan Pace is, because it's the first time, really, we've had to ask Ryan Pace about this topic that is at least a month
old. See, when
he
got cut. Yeah. 2 weeks later, if you'd had Ryan doing, hey, we're in the middle of a good season, I'll go on your shows, whatever. By the way, Kareem Hunt.
If he's taking a victory lap in December and you're asking the general manager of the Bears, hey, what do you think about this possibility because of the connection that is obvious to Matt Nagy, then maybe this is a discussion that comes before the end of the season when you should be talking about what a great year it was, how good of a hire Chuck Pagano is, Cody Parkey's out the door. All those three things should be the emphasis of what that yesterday
the
was supposed to be
about. The development of Mitchell Trubisky.
Absolutely. That's another good one. But instead, they programmed Sports Talk Radio in Chicago for the next several days. They made this a polarizing topic in a football city.
Don't you think that's purposeful? I think that was purposeful.
Yeah, Bengals did with Joe Mixon the draft.
They wanted to see the reaction.
I think yes and no.
Look at the reaction on your screen. 75%, 72% are saying yes. I got to ask you, as a woman, does a man who did what he did, as reprehensible as it is, if and only if he went through the proper counseling, suspension, punishment, all of it, does he deserve a second chance?
It's a very conflicting topic, because if anybody's ever been in remotely a close situation to that, you don't know how to react.
You're allowed to be conflicted.
My problem is, if we're looking at this systematically, because we don't know exactly what happened except what we saw. And what we saw, I think so many times, as a whole in society right now, does the ultimate reaction to something fit what happened before? Does the internal punishment fit the crime? Did he deserve to react that way just because she did something that was also reprehensible? No. Period, paragraph. And in the NFL, for some reason, we seem to excuse this. Perhaps it's the sport, perhaps because we've been desensitized by how many times it's happened. But we seem to always overlook this or talk about this in a more casual way in this sport than we do in any other. And part of it is because the way it is legislated, so unilaterally
or
at the top level,
or not
is
handled.
So ambiguous. Yeah. So at what point are we saying to somebody this is not acceptable. And we have to make an example at some point to players that if you do this, it is not okay. You cannot play in the league for at least a certain amount of time, if not longer. How do we know what is healed? How do we know that the answer to that question?
Right.
We don't know.
So what role do you think the video plays in our feelings about what we saw and what should be done, how he should be punished? Because we have examples in this town, in other sports.
Well, look at Ray Rice. He had two games, and then the video surfaced, and he's never played since.
You know what bothers me is nobody ever talked to Ray Rice's girlfriend, then fiance, about it.
And now wife.
Yeah. Nobody talked to her about it.
Well, the commissioner did.
But it's her decision whether or not she wants to speak out about it. Something tells me she probably didn't want to.
Probably right.
And you've got to consider the other person involved. And that's when I take a lot of offense. But either way, if this man still stays employed in the public eye carrying the multi-million dollar salary, he still wins, doesn't he?
That was a – Ray Rice's was a domestic abuse situation.
Yes.
Kareem Hunt's is more of an assault. I mean, where the victim may or may not be willing to talk about it, we don't know. There wasn't a relationship there. Does that change the way that we should view this? And, again, the powerful image of the video, I think, affects how we interpret what the Bears should do, what any team should do, how he should be treated, because this is something that we're not reading about. This is not something of police report. This is something you were seeing, and that's hard to unsee when you see him kicking a young woman on the floor after shoving her.
Well, let me ask you guys. Think about the worst argument you've ever gotten into in your life. Is that how you reacted?
Yeah, I think that's what I think. I mean, like, you know, we talk about Kareem Hunt and, you know, where the NFL enabling him, but some people have failed him along the way. You know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, some of these athletes get in the league without being taught, you know, some of these, I think we could do more at like the high school and college level of teaching young athletes and just young people in general how to deal with their temper, how to walk away from a situation. You know what I mean? Like, some of these athletes are like coddled along the way. And then when they get in a situation where someone isn't giving them exactly what they want, they react in a way like that. And I think it's important along the way to help these athletes, you know, manage themselves, you know.
Why would you, as an organization, I understand the value of giving people second chances, right? And then maybe now is not the appropriate time to be discussing that necessarily. But from a bigger picture standpoint, if you're the Chicago Bears and you just had a resurgent season, you are on your way back to being relevant in the NFL. You have a team that has a roster. You compete for a Super Bowl mm-hmm. next season. Why would you want to invite this distraction?
Why? This is not me talking.
Yeah. That's
this
a rhetorical question.
There.
Why?
Because he led the NFL in rushing. He's 23 years of age. He can catch passes. He already knows that guy's system. That's how Matt Nagy's looking
I think at it's
it.
Overstated how much he knows that guy's system. I think you can draft somebody who can fit in that guy's system. And I think that you don't have a weakness at running back.
Gentlemen.
You don't have a weakness.
Oh, you do have a weakness.
Well, you have – look at the final four teams cap. Damian Williams was off the street, signed by the Chiefs. C.J. Anderson signed off the street. He had 100 yards for the Rams. James White for the Patriots was a fourth-round draft pick who caught 15 passes the other day. You don't need that Le'Veon Bell type of guy.
Well, you're cherry-picking a little bit, though, Todd Gurley. Sony Michel. I mean, those are all guys that are getting
first-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, those are good players.
The delta of change here doesn't have to be very high in the running back department for the Bears to get what they want. They had 65 yards rushing. That's unacceptable.
It's the most replaceable position.
70 yards.
In the NFL
today. Do they win this game?
Yeah.
What's the wins above replacement? They don't have to do much to improve at the running back position currently, given what happened. Or they just change the scheme a little bit. Or maybe their offensive line is healthy all season.
Yeah, risk-reward.
Exactly.
As Tommy Waddle says, is the juice worth the squeeze?
You guys are exactly right. I still think to get what they want at a low risk, go in the middle rounds of the draft, third, fourth. There are plenty of cases of getting really top-notch running backs that fit in your system right there who produce almost right away. Just take one there. The guy who comes in the system, two good running backs ahead of him, you're not even, you just see what he does, and you don't really need him to produce like those guys
but
either.
Matt would probably say to you, I know the guy as my player, and he's going to be playing somewhere. I'd rather be playing for me.
But if I'm George McCaskey, I have some serious questions that need to be answered,
And shame on the NFL, then. Shame on the NFL for not being the league that has to actually discipline and take the overriding opinion and take the overriding
they
discipline
still might,
standard.
Well, yeah,
let's play this along. Let's say the Bears wake up tomorrow and say, we're going to sign him. We're signing him. At that point, the NFL, he stays on the exempt list. The NFL could spend the entire next season just investigating him before doling out punishment. See Ezekiel Elliott, some of these other cases. So it just doesn't, I mean, even if they wanted to sign him, I mean, the odds are he misses all or most of next season. I mean, period. And that's if they even come out with the punishment. He may miss all next season on the exempt list while they investigate. It just doesn't make sense for the Bears at this point.
Nobody's saying lifetime ban. Nobody's saying never. Just not now.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm with you that let me know after his suspension and where things are with his treatment, and then we can revisit.
Time has a way of changing our perspective about how strongly we feel about certain things. And I'm not saying that a year from now, you know, how strongly we feel about no, or I feel, will be the same, you know, because I think things
this
do
is
change.
Too soon.
It is too soon.
The bottom line is we all saw a crime, so there's got to be some time served. Period. True. We all saw it.
All right. Matt Nagy also saw his kicker double doink a field goal, 11 missed kicks, and then he turned on his TV on Friday morning and saw Cody Parkey on the Today Show. He was none too pleased. Take a listen.
For me, and you understand that we always talk about, you know, a we and not a me thing. And we always talk as a team. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And, you know, I didn't necessarily think that was too much of a we thing.
He went on then when he's pressed for another question. As I said, that was not much of a we thing.
Most bothersome thing I've seen on Today Show since Megyn Kelly left. I mean, that not surprising, but look, let's not confuse the issue. He missed 11 kicks.
If he was 29 of 30 and the one missed kick was that kick, the double doink, he's back.
He's back, but they're not happy, but he's still back.
Correct.
I think that the fact that he missed 11 kicks has more to do with it than the fact that he went on NBC Today Show last Friday. I mean, you have to show this again. Of course, you have to show it again. Boink, doink.
Yeah, because Coop, our producer of this fine show.
Eagles fan.
Is from Philly.
Yeah, nice.
I'm not convinced, honestly, if he was 29
or 30. I think Alshon dropped it here, Coop.
I'm not convinced even if he's 29 or 30 if they bring him back. That's just not a kick you can chase out of town.
Really?
You know, I really don't. I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like if, you know, I think we all agree he's never kicking again for the Bears. I mean, they will get rid of him some way.
If Allen Robinson dropped a touchdown pass, that would have won the game.
That's a much different thing. I mean, the kicker, you line up on the final play, and I just think every time, if he was even 29-30, every time he lined up next year, you would hear the gasp. You would hear, for his good and for the good of the Bears, he would have to go. I mean, that's just the way life is with kickers in the NFL.
What's the old adage? Your strengths get you into the playoffs and your weaknesses promptly rush you out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was certainly the case here. But we all know that this isn't the first time he's hit an upright this season. That was the sixth time.
Do you trust Ryan Pace to, and he did an amazing job, and if there was executive of the year vote for me, I would vote for him. Chris Ballard would be the other guy. Those two.
Both of those guys deserving.
Correct.
Yeah.
Do you trust him to get the right kicker? Because he hasn't proven he can do it yet.
Yeah, I do. I mean,
and would that
it's
kicker?
It's hard to find a good kicker.
Would you sign Robbie Gould?
I would definitely explore Robbie Gould. I would definitely want to know how much Robbie Gould would pay me to kick for the Bears.
So cool.
Because I think that's what he would be willing to do. Yeah. I mean, you talk about hometown discount. I mean, Robbie Gould would be highly motivated to stay at Chicago. I'm not speaking for Robbie Gould. I haven't spoken to him about this. Just knowing him a little bit and having mended fences with him a little bit, I think he would be highly motivated.
Yeah, you and he are cool.
Oh, we're tight now.
Wait,
I'm
a big Robbie Gould guy. Just so we're clear here, that's what I would do. I'm a big
Robbie
Gould.
You're not conflicted
Gould.
About this, right?
I am not conflicted.
I have two questions then. Number one, notice how we are consternating about giving Robbie Gould a second chance. That comes back to what we were talking about.
No, come on. You can't compare those two.
That's my point.
You can't
compare. We're stressing about giving Robbie Gould a second chance.
Yeah.
Consider that when we're discussing Kareem Hunt.
Okay.
The other one is, and I thought about this like an hour ago. I don't know why it hasn't really been brought up before, but Ryan Pace is pretty young. So is it safe to say that he's getting better at his job? I think he is.
He did an amazing job.
I asked him yesterday at the end of the news conference. I said, you know, first 3 years did not go so well. And the last year you've made pretty much every decision you've made except for the Cody Parkey one has gone right. What's changed? And he talked about being aggressive and continue to stay.
No regrets.
And that's why I think it's important to remember, no regrets.
But the one mistake that he made,
Parkey?
And I told him this to his face.
Parkey?
No, Pace. The one mistake he
Parkey
made.
Parkey was Pace's mistake.
Yeah, I think it's
I'm talking about a big picture mistake.
Okay.
The day he took over and he stood up on that press conference and they hired John Fox there. they fed into the narrative. Well, Foxy turns things around quick. We'll get this thing turned. And everybody bought in. Everybody.
Okay. You want to go back there.
He should have stood there the first day and gone, hey, right now our roster stinks.
Yeah, okay.
And it's going to take some time.
But you needed to professionalize the position of head coach. And they needed badly John Fox to do
that. I'm not denigrating the Fox hire. What I'm saying is they should never have come out and said, we'll get this thing fixed quickly. They should have said, as Theo did the day he got here, as Rick Hahn's done with the White Sox, it's going to take time. The roster's awful. They should have been transparent.
Getting back to Robbie Gould, I mean, how motivated are we talking here? Because given their financial commitment to Parkey, they're going to have to find a cheap alternative.
No, I disagree.
Because when you look at their offseason priorities,
but you're talking about $3.5 million. Are you going to tie up $6 to $7 million kickers? Nick,
would you pay to still be alive in the playoffs?
I think they have a lot of needs to be spending that much money on a kicker that's not playing. And Leonard Floyd's going to get a raise. They're going to need to add. They're going to need to add on the offensive line.
Okay. Hey, what's the average spread in the NFL? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Three points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many are those wins worth to you?
Some of those guys are going to get raises, and I don't
see them spending. Cap's going up. They're going to cut Deion Sims.
Yeah.
They will probably have somewhere around $23, $24 million by my math
available.
You've got a available.
Team that's thinking Super
would you,
Bowl.
How about this? Okay, let's play this long. Would you rather spend, Robbie Gould, you're talking, even if he's motivated, you're talking somewhere in the range of $3 to $4 million, right?
Probably $4 million.
Yeah. Okay. Would you rather spend that, or would you rather upgrade your offensive line?
I'll take both. I'll take Robbie Gould, though.
Okay. I think if you commit that amount of money to a kicker, you're going to have to cut in an area where it's not worth it, if you ask me.
I think there's no way you could undervalue or overvalue the kicker position after what's just happened.
I completely agree.
You
realize if you had a decent kicker, you would not have played till this past weekend. Because he probably beats Miami. He certainly beats Philadelphia.
Look at this way. You spend the $4 million on Robbie Gould. You cut somewhere, let's say, most likely it affects your special teams, obviously, because those are the guys, the bottom of the roster who are going to play the special teams.
There's some athlete out of Ball State wants a shot.
You give up a kickoff return in the playoffs next year that costs you a game. There are areas that you...
Is Akeem Hicks back? Is Roquan Smith back?
I think it's really easy to sit here and say.
Back?
I think it's very easy to sit here and say, spend that much money on kicker and not take into account the ramifications on the rest of the roster. The kicker is out there. I mean, I think you should be able to find a cheaper kicker than Robbie Gould that can still give you an increased effectiveness.
You better believe he's going to make him.
I agree.
For the amount of money you want to pay, it's some guy doing construction right now.
If I were them, what I would do...
By the way, come on, Cap. Robbie Gould was doing construction.
That's my point.
Before
they got lucky. Yeah.
Was he at Goose Island on Saturday?
If I were them, I'm going to take a kicker in the middle of the rounds. Maybe be the first team to take a kicker.
No shot.
No way. You didn't give a rookie that responsibility. Get somebody you trust.
It's worked an awful lot.
You get somebody that knows what it's like to kick a Soldier Field.
Thank you. All right, it's Tuesday, January the 15th, and we still don't know what's going on with Manny Machado. Is the wait a good sign for the White Sox? Are they going to decide soon? Because we're running out of things to talk about. Bulls and Hawks are not good. STL back after this.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
Baseball season almost here. Boys, the summer will be here for one of the coldest weekends of the year. The Cubs convention gets underway, and we'll have the opening ceremonies covered. Begins at 5 with an hour-long Sports Talk Live. Then it's the opening ceremony at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago. I'll have it all for you. All right. Where is the buzz for the Cubs? They have done absolutely nothing other than Daniel Descalso.
Can they afford a buzz? Is that in the budget? Is the buzz in the budget? Okay. I don't know. If it's not
what
in the budget,
be,
I don't think we should
will
have
Will there be a
about.
Surprise at the convention?
See, you're trying to go down this road. You're pandering to the Cub fans who want to have Bryce Harper introduced.
I don't think they're re-signing Kerry Wood.
No.
That would be buzzy.
That would be buzzy.
Brian Dempster.
What would be the surprise? Bryce Harper would be the only thing that would satisfy Cub fans. And I've heard you say 100 times if I heard you say once. That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Bryce Harper isn't walking through that door?
No. What's the surprise? No, I think you're going to hear it reiterated about how much they value and they're investing confidence in the core, how much they believe in the players coming back. Hey, we won 95 games. We averaged 97 over the last 4 years. Joe Maddon doesn't need a contract. He's going to be entering his free agent year.
Will they announce their TV network this weekend?
You tell me.
I don't.
How would I know? I mean,
WKAP. I don't know. I mean, you would be in a better position.
Ask John Greenberg. He'd know.
Something. I mean, I doubt that the things that we want to have happen in terms of a surprise or a buzz are going to happen.
Is there a reliever they're going to sign this week?
Oh boy, now you know who would that be? Who would create a kind of buzz? Kimbrel.
Adam Ottavino.
Ottavino would be a good one.
Yeah.
Kimbrel.
I mean, Ottavino claims he could strike out Babe Ruth, so at least he's got the swagger.
I think they will add to the bullpen at some point, but they're going to shop at the bargain basement. You're going to be closer to spring training. A guy needs a home, and you know they match up.
Here's what would be: is Yu Darvish going to be there?
I don't know,
because I know Anthony Rizzo is not, John Lester is not,
and Addison Russell
is not.
He's not allowed there.
Is not allowed there
because he's suspended.
Oh, okay. That's convenient. He doesn't have to face any questions. Mm-hmm.
But he will face questions the first week when pitchers and catchers report.
Why can't he at spring training but not at a convention rallied around?
I guess that's their rule, that they do not have suspended players at the fan convention.
Okay. All right. That's an odd rule. Anyway, so is Darvish going to be there? Because I think he can, you know, that could get people excited. If Yu Darvish is healthy, and I know that's a
huge deal. So Tommy Hotovy, the new pitching coach?
Yeah. Sharp guy.
Just went to Arizona because Yu has been in Arizona throwing, and I saw some video. Look, I have no idea what's going to happen this season, but he looked awfully healthy. I'll just tell you that.
That's the thing.
Free and easy.
The Cubs don't really have to have a buzz. They just have to wait for everybody to get healthy. It's boring.
Stay healthy.
But it's helpful.
Stay healthy.
They secured Cole Hamels, which I still think is a big deal.
I think Cole Hamels for a full season, if this pitching staff rotation stays healthy, that's a lot to get excited about. Mm-hmm. I think everybody, present company included, has to start over with Yu Darvish. Clean slate, no preconceived notions, no memories of Flu Darvish, none of that stuff. I mean, you just start over from scratch because that's fair. And I think he can be dynamic, he can be effective. I'm trying to talk myself into this.
Are we also underestimating the trade deadline in this position for the Cubs? Because say they have their healthy battery of their players, and we wait and see what happens with the Cardinals after all the acquisitions they've made. The Reds are actually making some genuine noise. The Brewers, of course, just introduced Yasmani Grandal. So wait and see what happens. Wait and see until the trade deadline.
Cap, come on. I mean,
they've got to get
off to a good start, or else Joe Maddon may not be here at the trade deadline.
If they're 5.5 back at the All-Star break, it'll either be an interim or Joe Girardi is walking through that door.
Building on that, I think the NL Central has turned into kind of a problem for the Cubs in the sense that, like, used to be you could beat up on the Cincinnati and Pittsburghs of the world and get in as a wild card. There's only one team coming out of the Central this year. The Central is really tough from top.
You're right.
The Reds are better.
How about the Reds? They're talking about getting Corey Kluber.
Yeah. I mean,
the
Reds are better right now.
Yeah,
so, you know, if they bring in Kluber, they become a significant issue for the Cubs and everybody else in the division.
All right. Now, the team in town that is making moves, that would be the Chicago White Sox. Manny Machado, Bryce Harper are still out there, the two biggest fish to sign. But the Sox have also been very active, adding to their bullpen. They got Ivan Nova in their rotation. And they have a checkbook, and they're willing to write that check. So, do you believe, in the end, Machado ends up playing on the south side in a Sox uniform?
I don't think you can say no at this point. I think it would be great theater at 5:15 on Friday when you're hosting Sports Talk Live at the Cubs convention. The White Sox announced they're signing Manny Machado.
And tell me the White Sox wouldn't do that.
And see your look on your face at that moment would be classic. That would be great TV.
I've been saying the same thing for like 2.5 weeks. They should wait and announce it on Friday.
That would be fantastic.
That
would fit the timing too. I mean, look, realistically, everything seems to be pointing in that direction. You hear again today the report out of Philadelphia. They're not going to sign both Harper and Machado.
But then did you see Bob Nightingale's tweet about an hour ago?
Said they'd like to get
Keuchel, Kimbrel, and Harper.
Let them have them.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. But again, who does that leave out? Machado.
For the White Sox.
And
mystery team.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Why do I still think the mystery team might be the Yankees? I know that's crazy.
Who do you think it is? I think it might be the Cardinals.
I could see it being the Cardinals. I think they need a third baseman.
That would be bad news for the Cubs.
I think it might be the Padres or the Pirates.
Padres? Have been a, yes. Yeah. And that's been discussed.
I think they've talked about third baseman the entire offseason.
He wants to play shortstop. I mean, everybody that knows him says he wants to play shortstop.
The money talks. And if the San Diego wanted to go out and get him,
we'll go 10 for 300. I'm in. I'll catch if you want.
Yeah, exactly. The money talks.
Padres have the financial flexibility. They are somehow still paying Jed Jerko, which I did not realize until recently. But they have the financial flexibility. They also have a ridiculously good farm system. And they're sitting on a very established TV deal.
How do you feel
about got the money?
The Sox not willing to go further than 7 years in terms of their offer? If you believe most of the reports, not Jeff Passan from ESPN, says it's 8 years, but that seems to be a difference probably between the agent and the team.
Look, I just like how Rick Hahn has spent this winter starting to bring some guys in, good guys in the clubhouse, makes them relevant.
Guys connected to Machado.
No question.
Guys related to Machado.
But I think that that's smart, but they've got Yonder Alonso. They got John Jay. They went out and got Ivan Nova. They went and got two guys in their bullpen.
Kelvin
Herrera has a chance, if he's healthy, to be a really, Alex Colome, another guy. I think they have done, even if they don't get one of these two, they have at least put themselves on solid footing. I love what Rick has done.
I love what he's done, too. And I think, getting back to the 7 or 8 years thing, I find it hard to believe that if, you know, Machado's camp calls the White Sox, says, wants to come here, it's going to take 8, though. I would be really surprised if the White Sox said no to that. It makes no sense, given this is going to have an opt-out after 3. You know, he probably plays his way in the
opt-out
you know,
after 3.
I think the opt-out is the way to go. The other thing, too,
about, like, John Jay and Yonder Alonso, I love people. People have made a big deal out of the Machado connection, and rightfully so, but these are two guys that make a ton of sense for them, even if Machado never signs here. This team struck out 1,600 times last year. They need some guys in there that are both professional hitters and can influence some of these other guys about taking better at-bats.
Excellent point.
And those two guys are, especially John Jay, you know, could be a huge influence on some of those guys coming up through
their system. And Cap, just to close out the White Sox idea. Yeah, good offseason, smart signings, but if they don't get Machado, this is all or nothing in terms of the offseason. Do you like the Sox offseason? That's the next poll question. Do you like the Sox offseason? Do you not like the Sox offseason? Yes or no is going to be dependent on whether or not they get Machado, no matter what. I mean, really, I think it feels
because
like it's all or nothing.
Because they've taken their fans' hopes.
Yeah.
Like, walk through our newsroom, whether it's Slavko, whether it's Chris Kampka, whether it's Garfine, McGuffey.
Whenever he gets back from the Dominican and he ends up going to Arizona for spring training, if he walks into spring training on day one and Manny Machado isn't there, even though all those other guys are, it's going to feel like a letdown.
I don't know, man.
We got so many Sox fans in our newsroom
waiting in the race.
I think it's going to be a letdown.
This is a different team.
It will be devastating.
I think it's certainly going to be a letdown, but I think that wears off very quickly in the sense that if you're the White Sox, you could take this money and go try and spend it next winter too when Nolan Arenado is up. You know, when some of these other guys. I mean, if you're willing to spend, you know, Chris Sale,
that's
right?
That's
going to
be cold comfort when you're losing 94 games again.
Well, I don't think they lose 94 games again. I think they're a lot better than what they were.
You do know their over-under number is like 74.
I get that, but okay. The Central is a mess.
If they don't get Machado, you think that they're not a 90-loss team?
I think they're probably about a 90-loss team without Machado. But again, this is a team that lost 100 games this year. That's a 10-game improvement.
Okay, all right, let's talk again. When they don't, if they don't get Machado, I'm still optimistic they will, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think you feel good about the offseason unless they get Manny.
Machado's defensive WAR, if you think about it,
I want to feel better about it, but I just think that's reality.
If you add him to the White Sox, you're talking about a probably 7-6 defensive WAR, just because they had such trouble turning double plays last season. But they've improved so much in the bullpen. If they call up Eloy Jimenez, that's massive protection in the lineup. To have John Jay as leadoff batter and not have Mankata exposed like that.
What are you getting
in
Mankata?
Dylan Cease is coming. I mean, you know,
I am bullish on a 70-win projection. Without Machado.
I know Machado wants to play shortstop, so they're probably going to move Tim Anderson. But, Machado is a much more valuable player at third than he is at shortstop. It would be interesting if someone could talk him into staying there at third and letting him keep Anderson at short.
Just tell him. You're in. You're at short. Our shortstops play right by the bag. That's our defense.
Yonder, could you talk to Manny?
Yeah, right, exactly.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.